Well, indeed, Lord Jesus, we want to see you lifted high and glorified. We pray that especially as we turn to your word today, we pray that we would see you, that we would meet you. We pray for your Holy Spirit to take what we hear, what we think today, and we would be transformed to look more and more like you. May you be glorified in our time together. Amen. I invite you to be seated. Like I said, I will be using Luke chapter 10 for our text today, this morning, Luke chapter 10. Keep that open or open it back up there. And we'll be in and out of that passage here. But before we do that, you can see up there a familiar statement, hopefully by now, the mission statement, the thing that we're centered around, hopefully growing toward as God's people here at Trinity, of growing committed followers of Jesus. Why don't we all say that together? Growing committed followers of Jesus. And I'm just trying to keep you awake already here. We have those four bullet points in your bulletins. You'll see that there. The one that we're focusing in on this year in particular, the one that's up there on the screen that you might be sick of hearing me talk about, but we have another 8 months of the year, so you'll hear it some more still. Leading others to know him, leading others to know Jesus. That's what we're spending our time on. That's what we're focusing, trying to be attentive to in our times together and our lives individually as God's people here at Trinity. But before we jump into the text, I just want to back up a little bit, take a bigger picture view, and ask the simple question, why are we doing all of this? Why are we doing all of this? Why are we spending time with a mission statement? Why are we talking about leading others to know him? The question I asked this morning is, what is the objective? What is the purpose? Well, to bring others to God, yeah, I wasn't actually expecting responses, but that's good. Yeah, because I think when we're talking about leading others to know Jesus, maybe the first thing that comes to mind quite often is to get more people into church, right? Has that been your thought in this process or going through? Maybe you don't have to answer. But sometimes I think that could be the temptation, kind of reducing our mission, our purpose as a church and a people of God down to simply that, boiling down all that we do to this hour and 15 minutes that we have together each week. Is it just to get people to church? I would suggest hopefully it's not. Hopefully you've heard that enough from me. Hopefully it's your heart to see something more than that. Kind of the bigger picture, the bigger thing that we hope for, that Gail already ruined the entire sermon, so I'll just sit down and we'll go home early. No, I've got a lot more, don't worry. But the bigger picture, our bigger hope with our mission statement, with our focus of leading others to know Jesus, is really to see even beyond just this hour or two together on Sunday. It's a whole life that we're wanting people to know, to experience, to enjoy, to grow in a whole life relationship with Jesus, trusting him, loving him, knowing him, following him, day by day, hour by hour. That really is what we are called to individually. I think what we as a church are called to do, to cultivate, to grow in each other, in the world, a greater sense of our need for God, of God's work, his presence in our lives. Because really that is God's heart for the whole world, isn't it? That all would know him, that all would share in this abundant life that he freely gives to us, that he freely offers. That really is God's heart for us, for the whole world. That's the thing that we need to be focused in on, centered around, in our thought, in our thinking, in our lives. What's God's heart, God's desire for us, for the world? And so then, if that is the objective, the purpose of growing in this meaningful, this life-giving and sustaining relationship with God, how do we do that? How do we do that? typically when we sharing Jesus, somebody read up there, that's good. Yeah, sharing Jesus, and the fancy word that we use in church to do that, the word that nobody wants to say out loud. People do actually want to say it, that's good. Usually that's the word that sends people running. Evangelism. Simply sharing Jesus, talking about him. That big fancy word evangelism comes from a Greek word there. I won't make anyone try to say that. Although you're jumping ahead of things, so that's good. Maybe I will. Euangelion, a Greek word that simply means good news. Good news. That word evangelize really boils down to good news, to sharing good news. And I'd suggest in our time this year, hopefully already in our lives and beyond this year, that is what each of us are called to be proclaimers of this euangelion, this good news that we have, the gospel of Jesus, the hope of Jesus. But how do we do that practically? I was going to spend some time here today working through that handout that you have in your bulletin there, using Romans 6:23 and ways that we can share the gospel quite simply with just one Bible verse. We're not going to do that. We have other things in store. I'm going to leave that for you. I commend that to you. It's a good resource. But I think we're called to something even just beyond a program, just beyond a kind of the right words to say. Because Jesus welcomes us again into touching on all of life, sharing all of life with him. It's more than just a program or a strategy that we have. This is about all of life. This is about God's heart for us and for the world. And so how we're going to do that, we're going to use Luke 10 here, and we're going to see three P's of sharing Jesus. Okay, so if you've got a piece of paper or you're trying to remember three P's, you can already get started. The first P, the one that we've embarked on already, spent a fair bit of time doing, is everyone's taking a guess, and I have something on the screen for you to look at today, so you're not left wondering, what is this guy wanting me to say? The first thing that we're focused in on that Jesus invites us to is to pray. It's to pray. There we go. That's good. It's to pray. We're going to look at the first a couple of verses here in Luke chapter 10 because they're enlightening as to how we are to pray. We're going to ask the question, to whom are we praying? Who are we addressing our prayers to? And for whom? So the two and the four of prayer. You got that so far? The two and the four of prayer. So who are we praying to? To whom are we praying? Look at verse 2. And Jesus said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest. We're called to pray to the Lord of the harvest. Whenever God's name is used and used differently than we often see it, I think that calls us to pay attention to it because the names of God reveal a lot of who he is. Of his work, of his heart, his desire. I didn't look, but this is one of the only times that comes to mind where God is addressed as the Lord of the harvest. And that's important because it reveals that this task of evangelism, of sharing the good news, that euangelion, I'm going to keep saying that so you get that stuck in your head, of sharing this good news, it's really God's work. This is God's work, God's task to do. It says, pray to the Lord of the harvest, asking him to send workers for whose harvest? For Trinity's harvest, for my harvest, for his harvest. We're praying to the Lord of the harvest to do his work, that we would see the fruit of his work, his labor, that we would see his kingdom come, his kingdom grow. Because one of the reasons that I was joking earlier, we don't like to talk about evangelism, is that so often we've made it and created it centered around us. us having the right words, us knowing when to say something or not say something, us going out and, you know, sometimes we can think about like just going around knocking on doors and have you met Jesus or, you know, that kind of stuff, right? Lots of that is intimidating for so many people. But we need to start back at square one and be reminded this isn't about us. This is about what God is doing, what God is doing in this church, in this community, in the world, to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would continue the work of his harvest. But we'll see later on that doesn't mean that we're entirely off the hook, so just stay with me. It reveals that this is God's work, but it also reveals that this is God's heart, that this is God's desire. He wants there to be a harvest. He wants to see people coming, being welcomed into his kingdom, into his family, the gathering of believers. He's sending out people to do the work. He's sending them out. This is God's heart. He wants there to be a harvest. Kind of like you farmers after spending all winter getting your machinery ready and buying all your inputs, securing your seed. Now maybe starting to get out there and turn some soil, I don't know. You get out and seed, you spray diligently all summer. And August comes around and you're just saying, well, it's not really worth it. I'm just going to leave it, let it sit. You probably wouldn't do that, would you, after all the work and effort and time that you've put into it? In the same way, God's not going to abandon his work. He's not going to put in the effort of creating us, of breathing life into us, sustaining us, and say, well, I've had enough. Let's move on to something different. God will see his work done. God will continue to grow and work in us. We're to pray to the Lord of the harvest, being mindful this is his work. But who are we to pray for? How are we to pray? You know, we've spent several months already this year praying for our friends, our neighbors, our other people in the community, our family. We had asked a while ago for you to be praying for one person in particular this year. That's good. That's important work. We're commended many times in Scripture to pray for each other, to intercede, to lift each other up in prayer. But who does Jesus say we should be praying for? Is it for everyone out there? Is it for the neighbors and our community? It says we're supposed to pray for workers. We pray for workers for the harvest. We pray for workers for the harvest. Those going out, those sharing the good news, those sharing Jesus. We ought to be praying for ourselves. Praying for us as evangelists, as people sent out day by day to share Jesus. And we need to do that because Jesus highlights that it's difficult work. Look at verse 3 there. He doesn't say, go out and all will be easy. Instead, he says, go your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Not a pleasant task. It doesn't conjure much confidence, does it? And yet again, that reminds us it's God's work. He will see it to completion. And yet he still sends us out. Sends us out to do this difficult work. On our own, we don't stand a chance. We don't stand a chance to be fruitful or productive. We need God's work, God's presence with us. And so we pray for workers. And I always like to joke, we have to be careful what we pray for, right? You found that out in your own lives, I'm sure. We have to be careful what we pray for, because God does answer prayers. He tells us to pray for workers. We're to pray for workers, which I think means we're to pray for each other. These are dangerous prayers to pray. We're supposed to pray. Secondly, hopefully you see where we're going with this. We're to prepare. We're to prepare. We're to prepare to be sent out. Just as Jesus was gathering those 72, some of his followers, to go out before him, he told them to pray, pray for the workers. And I can just imagine those 72 saying, oh yeah, that's good. That's a job I can do. You know, I can sit at my couch. They probably didn't have couches back then. But, you know, I can sit at home and pray for all those people that are going to go out, you know, to the far reaches of Africa or somewhere else. Right? Can't you just imagine that they're being their thinking? Isn't that so often our thinking? And again, we should be praying for those who go out to far places. But oftentimes I think we use that as an excuse to let ourselves off the hook. Because you have these 72, these disciples, I imagine that's going through their head. Oh yeah, I can do that. But once again, they need to be careful what they pray for. Because what does Jesus say to them? Pray for the workers, pray for the workers. And then the very first word in verse 3 is, go. You're praying for the workers, so go. Get out there. Do this. We're supposed to be ready, prepared, be ready to be sent. And just like we said last week, none of us should think that we don't have something to offer. Because as much as this is God's work, this is also a work that God has gifted us uniquely through his Holy Spirit for. Each of us has a gift to share with the church. Each of us has a gift, something to share with the community. Each of us has something to offer. So we can't just use the excuse, oh, I'm not a good speaker. I don't make friendships well. No, I don't think I really know enough to do this. Jesus simply tells the disciples to pray, pray for workers, and then to go. You've heard the word. You've encountered Jesus. You've met him week in, week out. Jesus has been preparing you for this task from the very beginning that he's called you as a beloved child of God. So we're to prepare to be sent out. To be sent out. We're also to prepare for God to use us, for God to use you. Again, you see, we keep reemphasizing this is God's work. This is God's work in us. But you uniquely bring experiences. You uniquely bring relationships that no one else has. You bring what God has done in your life already. You bring that to the table, to the conversation. You bring that to the people you meet. And all of those things God can use and is using to bring others to him. Prepare for God to use you. I love how Jesus sends out these 72 followers. Because if it was up to us, if it was up to us in the church, you know, we would send people out totally well-equipped after like a 40-week Bible study, all the latest and greatest strategies and a brand new smartphone app and, you know, posters and everything else. But Jesus sends out these disciples with none of that. Verse 4, he says, carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. He sends the disciples out seemingly with nothing. With nothing. That's why, like I said, I was going to preach on that one-verse evangelism there until I read this verse and realized I was kind of convicted by that. It's not about the strategies. It's not about programs. It's not about anything else like that. But it's trusting in God, in his work, in his Holy Spirit already calling you, working in your life. Trusting in God to share those experiences, how you've encountered Jesus in your life, what you know to be true, about him. And this can be kind of terrifying, especially for someone like me, who likes to be super prepared and over-prepared and know what's happening and what's going on and have the next 10 years planned out. This can be terrifying, being sent out seemingly with no preparation, with no plan in place or agenda. Now, I don't think this is to say that we're just to do evangelism kind of willy-nilly and just go out there and start shooting our mouths off or anything like that. That's not what Jesus is getting at. But I think he's getting at that combination of trusting in God, trusting that you've been called and gifted by God, trusting in the relationship that you have, that you've been welcomed into by Jesus, trusting in that, and trusting in him as he sends you out, that he will provide what you need, the words to say, even just the presence to have. Because again, I think all of us are more prepared than we realize. We're more prepared for this than we realize. Many of us have been in the church since before we can even remember. We know the stories inside and out. We know Jesus. We're ready. We're prepared. Preparation. They are just trusting in God, relying on his Holy Spirit. So pray, prepare, and then maybe what you thought we were getting at today primarily, we're going to move through this a little quicker, proclaim. This is kind of the nuts and the bolts. What it is that we're doing, what it is that we're sharing, what it is that we are opening our mouths, our lives to show and to share, the actual message. And so under proclaim, I have three more P's, okay? We're going to move through that a lot quicker than we have before. The three P's of proclamation, now that you're totally lost and confused, sorry. The three P's, what we're proclaiming, what we're announcing, what we're sharing with the world. The first one is peace. We're announcing peace. Look at verses 5 and 6. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. And if not, it will return to you. This is the exact same message that Jesus shared with his disciples right after the resurrection. In John, he says this a number of times as he meets with them. You remember those stories? They're locked in the rooms. They're afraid of what everyone's going to say or think. They're kind of huddled together. I won't draw the comparison to what we're doing here, huddled together in a building. But Jesus shows up and says to them, peace, peace be with you. And it's those words of peace that makes them open the doors, that sends them out into the world. It's that word peace that we've talked about in the past from the Hebrew word that means shalom. The Hebrew word shalom, a word of blessing, a word of prayer, of wholeness, wishing peace on people's lives, that we would have wholeness in our relationships, in our body, mind, and spirit, in our work, that there would be completion, that there would be fulfillment in all that we do. The message we're sent out to proclaim, the message of Jesus at its heart, is wholeness. It's shalom, it's peace. I was thinking, how do we do that practically in our lives? And the one thing that came to mind is simply speaking good. Simply speaking good in all situations. How many of us complained yesterday about the power being out? Oh, I wanted coffee, or oh, I was going to do this work, or I was going to do that. How quick are we to complain when things don't seem to be going our way? When it's summer one day and spring and maybe winter the next. How quick are we to complain? Instead of speaking good, being thankful that we generally have power, that we have access to that pretty consistently. Being thankful for the moisture that God gives. Just think what kind of power our words could have. Speaking peace, speaking goodness, thankfulness down at the coffee shop instead of complaining. People take note. Speak peace, speak wholeness, completion, the hope of Jesus. So we're to proclaim peace. I said we're going to go through this quicker, so I should. we're to proclaim peace. We're also to proclaim proximity. Proclaim proximity. I was trying to keep all the peace together. So proclaim proximity. What is the message that the disciples shared? We see it in verse 9 and verse 12, 11. It says, announce, tell them that the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. And that really is our message as we get on to sharing the gospel. It's a message that God wasn't content just to leave us alone. He wasn't content just to leave his world alone and let it fall to pieces. But that we have a God who came near. We have a God that came near to us. We're reminded of that on the cross. In his work, walking with us day by day. We're reminded of that in the empty tomb. In a few weeks, we'll celebrate Pentecost, the giving of his promised Holy Spirit. The promise of God, of Jesus' power and presence being with us. That is the hope that we have to offer. Because as you look around, even in your own friendships, your own acquaintances, there's lots of people that are hurting, that are desperate, that are alone. There's lots of people that need to know that God is close to them, that God cares for them, that he loves them, that he's not just leaving them alone, but his heart, his desire is for them and for their good. That is a message of salvation in a nutshell. Proclaiming proximity, that God's power, his rule, his reign is near at hand. God is close to us, to all who call on him. The third thing we're to proclaim, power. Look at verse 9. He didn't primarily say this is the words that you're supposed to memorize or the sermon that you're supposed to give. Instead, he says, heal the sick in the city and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Proclaiming the power of God. And this is where our stories, I got us hopefully thinking, hopefully we did this. We might have to refresh it again. But just thinking about the stories of God's presence in our lives, the ways that we've seen God at work, even in the little ways, the ways we know Jesus touch his love for us, seeing God's provision, being reminded, feeling his embrace and his love. We're called to go forth proclaiming Jesus and sharing the power, sharing how our lives are different now because we follow Jesus, because of his love for us. That is our hope week in, week out as we sit with God's word, that we wouldn't look the same as we did even yesterday, but always growing closer in love to him. And that is what we are welcome to share. That message of hope, that message of power, that life-transforming, life-altering message of Jesus with us. Make known the transforming power of God's love for us. So like I said, I was going to share techniques. We didn't really get there. I think that's on purpose. But I do commend that handout, that one verse evangelism. Sit with it. Memorize Romans 6:23. You can use that as a roadmap, as a way of opening scripture, allowing God to speak to people in conversations. It's designed just to do sitting at the coffee shop or at a restaurant. You can do it on the back of a napkin or something. Do a little bit of a drawing. Maybe one day we will sit with that and work through that a little bit. But use that. Use that. Use what God has been working in you, how God has been preparing you. use those three P's, which are the main three P's: pray, prepare, proclaim. Try that one more time, because I don't think pray, prepare, proclaim. As God is equipping you, he's equipping us, he's calling us to this greatest, this most important task, calling us to share his heart with the world. Amen.